This recording, Ontario 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comegit Secure is copyright Douglas N. Honorov, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who'd been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a suburb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an old choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. My dad was principal, so unfortunately I was the middle child, so I had to prove that I was not a principal's daughter. So what I would do in the summer, spring or whatever, my dad golfed with my principal, high school principal. So my dad was principal of Ripley, which was 12 miles away, 700 people in a village, and then I lived in Kincardine. And so what I would do was find out when my dad was golfing with this guy, and I would pull the fire alarm about 10 minutes before he would have to leave. So the story goes what my dad would say, because obviously the principal had to deal with me, and he would sit me in his office, and of course I would be watching him look at his watch, and I'd be sitting there, "Yes, Mr. Arskart, I'm very, very sorry I did that. I did it by accident," and all this stuff. And then my dad tells the story that Mr. Arskart would be running to meet his tee-off time, and my dad would be going, Don, what the heck is going on? You know, why are you late?" And Don would just say, "Well, let me tell you what your daughter did." He said, "Are you here to play golf? Let's move on." Yeah, you know, I had to prove that you weren't, you know, the old little principal's daughter that was, you know, by the book, so.